For all you fathers out there, you're going to love my next guest. His name is Larry Hagner. He is the founder of the Good Dad Project. And Larry states the following: our children are not born with manuals, and the journey of fatherhood doesn't necessarily come with a map. There are challenges, twists, and turns along the way. As much as we truly enjoy our children and being a father, we tend to internalize our struggles. When we do that, we get distracted and stressed out. As a result, we do not enjoy the journey of being a dad as much as we would really like to. Now, Larry says he's not a psychologist. He's not a counselor in family dynamics. He doesn't have any accolades behind his name. He is like you and I. He is an everyday dad trying to get the job done the best he can. He just wants to be the best version of himself so he can guide his kids to be the best version of themselves. Larry again states, I grew up virtually in a fatherless environment for most of my life. In fact, I didn't meet my real father until I was 30 years old. As fate would have it, our paths crossed when he walked into a coffee shop 8 years ago. I am happy to say we have a great relationship now and spend a great deal of time together. It was really through my own childhood struggles that I realized my true passion for being a dad. Larry is also the host and creator of a huge podcast called the Dad Edge Podcast, a must listen for all dads out there. Larry Hagner, next on the CJ Evolution Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here. Thank you for tuning into the show. That is why we continue to grow, because of you, the listener and supporter, sharing it with your family and friends. Thank you so much for tuning in. A big shout out to all the brave men and women out there serving in the criminal justice field, especially now in these uncertain times. Thank you so much for your service. Keep up the fantastic work. And everybody else out there that is keeping this country moving forward, thank you so much. Folks, if you love coffee, and I know most of you do, you are going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. I am a huge fan of this company, and I know you will be too. They have coffees, elixirs, cocos, whatever you want. My personal favorite is the Lion's Mane Mushroom Coffee, and I'm sure it will be on your list of favorites too. If you head over to cjevolution.com, you're going to see a link to Four Sigmatic. Click it. Check out their products. Best of all, you're going to get 15% off at checkout using the promo code CJEVO. Folks, if you're over 35, your enzyme levels have already begun to decline, and your immune system can even be more susceptible to viruses, just what you don't need. Enzymes are the workhorses of digestion. They break down food into usable macro and micronutrients. Now, research shows that by the time someone hits 65, their saliva and pancreatic secretions, both of which are involved in enzyme activity, can have declined by as much as 50%. This decline creates chronic indigestion, setting the stage for gut issues, yeast and mold overgrowth, even malnutrition. This is why I'm a big fan of enzyme and probiotic supplementation, and one of the best companies I've ever found that specializes in optimizing your digestion through both of these supplements are my friend at Bioptimizers. Bioptimizers found a better version for the probiotic. You can watch the P3OM Mass Zymes combo rapidly dissolve steak when you go to www.bioptimizers.com/CJEvolution. That's bioptimizers.com/CJEvolution. And use coupon code CJE10 to get 10% off any package. Try their enzyme and probiotic combo pack risk-free today. They have the best guarantee I've seen in the industry. It's a 365-day full money-back guarantee. Again, that's www.bioptimizers.com/CJEvolution. Such an honor to be partnered with a great company like Detecticam. This amazing company is keeping our troops safer by offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of your hand. I wish we had this technology when I was a young officer, but you can have it for your agency now. If you head over to the website, cjevolution.com, you're going to see a link to Detecticam and see how they can help keep your troops safer. On to the show with the one and only Larry Hagner. Enjoy. Hey, everybody, so excited to be here. My next guest, you are going to love Larry Hagner. He is the founder of the Good Dad Project. He also has an amazing podcast. He's crushing it. The Dad Edge Podcast, hundreds of thousands of downloads. And you guessed it, message behind it is how to be a better father. Larry, glad you're here, brother.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited.
Yeah, very excited for you to be here. A lot of us are fathers, obviously, and you're doing so much good work, talking to so many people out there, and we'll get into it. But what was the catalyst that got you on your path, brother? I mean, I always ask that, an obvious question. I mean, what was the reason why you got started?
My catalyst was I needed help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think all dads do to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, man, I was struggling. I mean, if you look back on my past and my childhood, probably really started there. And then when I became a father back in 2006 for the first time, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it the best I can. I'm not going to mess it up. And I was messing it up terribly. So it took me 6 years to basically pull my head out of my rear end. But it really started with me as a kid. And what that really looked like was my biological father and my mother were married, I think 1971, and then I was born in 75. And then I think it was right around 9 months or so old, they got divorced. And I guess it was a very bitter divorce because like he was gone, like just out of the picture. And I'll never forget when I was four, I had no recollection of my father. I didn't know who he was. I just knew I didn't have one. And I was fine with that. I didn't feel like I was missing anything.
Yeah, too young.
But I do remember being in preschool, and I remember fathers coming to pick up their kids. And I remember like, oh, wow, that's a dad. Okay. Well, I guess my mom hasn't found my dad yet, which is fine. Cause I thought that's how I thought it worked. Like, oh, the mom just go out and they find a dad and the dads just move in and all is right with the world. My mom hasn't found one yet. So I'll never forget the very first time my mom brought home a guy, and I was four. He comes walking in the door. It's 1979. He's got the briefcase, the double Windsor knot, white collar worker, dad, a software engineer, 3-piece suit. Like I said, double Windsor tie, mustache, feathered hair. And the first question out of my mouth with this guy when I went to shake his hand, because back then you could shake hands. You can't anymore. And but my first question to him was, are you going to be my dad? And you just, I remember like the feeling in the room, like it just felt like the awkwardness was just like plump, you know, it just like it just blew up in there. But lo and behold, they did get married. And they got married. I was in the wedding. They were together for 5 years after. What I can tell you is every year that they were married, the relationships got worse and worse.
Yeah.
But I called him dad. I thought he was my dad, and that just all was right with the world. He was a very nice man, ex-military, taught me a lot about manners, please, thank you, yes sir, no sir. And if you asked anybody who knew him, they loved him. They just was like, oh my gosh, that guy's the nicest guy. He was nice until he drank. And then he had like this mean streak, you know, in him. And I just think my dad was, I think he struggled a lot, really. I just think he was your typical guy. He was short on patience. He drank, sure, and that was not a good mixture. They got divorced when I was 10, and then he left. I've never seen him since. Wow. And then when I was 12, I started like asking questions. I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like I was at their wedding. Like, and like now I understand what sex is and all this, like, where did I come from? So I started asking questions, and my mom told me, she's like, well, I was married before. You do have another father. Like, here's the wedding album. Here's the pictures, you know, and started asking questions. Well, when I was 12, a couple of years later, I ran into him. And I won't go into the detail or anything, but I was able to meet him. He was remarried, had a 2-year-old son, another one on the way. And we actually formed this relationship. And I think at that point in time, man, I wanted a dad so bad. I immediately started calling him dad. I'm like, oh, dad, like, it was great. We're going to have a life together, blah, blah, blah. And we did hang out for a handful of months. I really don't remember if it was 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. I don't remember. But I do remember at that age, like things just got weird for him sort of all of a sudden. Like it just felt like he was stressed, or I couldn't put my finger on it. And then our relationship dissipated, which was sort of devastating because I lost him once when I was a kid.
Wow.
My mom and dad got divorced when I was 10, hadn't seen him, and then had reconnected with my real dad and gone again. So my mom was married 3 times. Every guy she was together and married with, the same guy, heavy drinker. sort of a lot of toxicity. So I always say this, half my childhood was spent with a father figure that was toxic. The other half was spent without one. So I'll finish up the story here. Two things happened when I was 30. So just last year, 15 years ago, two things happened when I was 30. Number one, I became a father for the first time, had my first son. He's 14 now.
It's awesome.
And I met my biological father by accident for the second time. I was in a Starbucks for a meeting, and who came walking in to get their morning coffee but my father. And I knew exactly who he was right when he walked in, and the person I was with, I worked with her. I was like, huh. You'll never guess who just walked in. And she's like, who? And I was like, that guy over there is my father, my real father. And she's like, oh my God, what are you going to say to him? I'm like, nothing. Oh. I'm 30. What am I going to say? Like, oh, I'm going to get the white chocolate mocha. What are you going to get?
Yeah.
You know, like nothing like that. So she went over to him, brought him over, and he sat down with us for like 10 minutes and we talked, and it was weird.
I was gonna say, I mean, it's just awkward.
Very awkward, like super awkward. But I have to give the guy some props. I mean, he's very humble and came over and chatted, and we exchanged contact information, and I've had a relationship with him ever since. That was 15 years ago. So anyway, I'll get back to how this started. When I became a father, it was very important for me to do this right, because I was like, man, I know what bad looks like and I ain't doing that. But what I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt is what we resist persists. And I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And all these things were happening. My marriage was not great. My patience with the kids were not great. I got all my validation and appreciation and respect from work. So I dove into work, no work-life balance. And then I just, in 2012, I had a really bad low point. We were getting ready to move. This is when Good Dad Project started. We were getting ready to move. And my six-year-old at the time, we were packing up to move. And I hate moving more than life. I just hate moving.
Who does?
Yeah. So I'm packing up the kids' playroom. It's like floor-to-ceiling boxes. My four-year-old comes downstairs, you know, in the room. And I was like, I'm going to go take a break. Please don't pull out any toys. Like, Dad just spent 3.5 hours packing these. Don't pull out any toys. So I come downstairs. He's 4 years old. He had pulled out everything. And I got so pissed, and I yelled at him, and I spanked him, and he hit the ground. And I was like, and I went down to help him up, and he shuddered. And I was like, and in that, it gives me chills telling that story, because in that moment, I no longer saw my son. I saw me. And I remember being thrown down. I remember being hit. And I remember like being scared of my mom and my dad. And I was like, oh my God, like I am literally doing exactly what I have set out not to do. And that night I went into my office. I was really emotional. And I sat in front of the computer, just wanted to distract myself on social media. And I don't know what it was, but the words Good Dad Project just flew off my mind and onto the keyboard. And I started a group on Facebook. And I was just like, I call that kind of my Jerry Maguire moment, where I was just like, I'm done. I'm done trying to figure this out on my own. I'm just gonna treat this like my job. I'm just gonna learn. I'm gonna go out and research something every day. I'm gonna read books. I'm gonna listen to things. I'm gonna go to conferences. I'm just gonna learn, because this is a skill. And now it is what it is today.
Yeah. That's amazing, brother. Thank you for sharing that. And I mean, I commend what you're doing, obviously. But a lot of people, I mean, you made the conscious decision to go on a different path. And I think a lot of people don't. I come from a law enforcement background, and I see this, you know, so many people stuck in the same rut. And I commend you again for saying, look, I need to change. Because in order to do things do great for other people, you have to fix yourself first.
Yeah.
And I never understood when you were telling the story again. I never understood, I guess everybody has their own reasons, but I never understood fathers who, again, I'm not trying to kick your, you know, bio when he's down. I'm sure he feels horrible. But how can you do that? I couldn't live with myself, you know, with leaving my kids. You know, I don't know how people can do that. Again, you know, people have their own reasons, but I commend you for allowing him back in your life, and because that's healing for you, right?
It is, yeah. And you know, I think about I that does cross my mind, and I have a 12-year-old right now. He's sure. My second oldest, and he's the same one that I spanked and hit the ground. And I look at him now, and he's the same age that I was when I was reunited with him. And there are some nights that I put him to bed, and I just shake my head, and I'm like, how? Like, why? And then I choose not to go down that rabbit hole. I was like, well, I can choose to really, really reflect on that if I really want to. Or I can choose to say, you know what? Maybe the guy had something going on.
Sure.
Maybe he just felt like this is the best I can do right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like people do the best they can with what they have in the moment. My dad has told me though, he's like, there's not a day that goes by I don't regret that decision. And so we've just decided to focus on the future.
Yeah. And that's what you think. We all have to do that. And I can tell just by you telling the story, you're a very forgiving person. I mean, and I think that's what we have to be a lot of times in order for us to heal and for us to go on. We have to be able to say, look, okay, I'm getting past this. You know, I forgive you. Because I think that so many people live in angst. You know what I'm talking about, Larry? They live with that, you know, being pissed off and angry all the time, and that doesn't serve anything. So we have to try to do what we can to get over it. Now you have your podcast I want to talk about, but you talk to a lot of fathers, and I know this is probably a broad question, but what are some of the things that fathers out there, if they're kind of saying, okay, I need to do something better, because I think we all do, no matter how good you think you are, we could be doing something better as a father. I know I could, even though my kids are older now. What makes a good dad? I mean, what kind of strategies do you give dads to become better?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And yeah, I'm still a student of this. I'm far from being an expert. The great thing about being on this side of the microphone, when I get to interview, I get to interview people who are smarter than me. So, which is great.
Same with me, brother.
Yeah, get to learn from them. But I've really narrowed it down to, out of all the guests that we've had on, that there's really five dimensions that men operate in as being a father, husband, and provider. And that's really mastering your family finances, you know, is one. Money can stress you out. Yeah. Money can be, you know, 80% of divorces are due to financial issues. So mastering family finances is one. And I don't know about you, but I was not taught personal finance growing up.
No, so they teach that all the time, don't they?
Yeah, they give you a credit card. Here, go spend, go max this out. You're welcome. The other one is optimizing your health.
Yeah.
So physical, mental, emotional health, spiritual health. That's the first thing a man will put on the back burner. He's like, well, I can't take care of me. I've got all these other people to take care of. And that's wrong. You've got to take care of you. In fact, it's selfish if you don't, because the more you can take care of yourself, the more selflessly you can serve in a more profound way. There's also creating a legendary marriage. I mean, you walk down the aisle, you walk back and like, best of luck. It's going to be great. There's going to be some ups and downs, sickness and health, you know, best of luck. But what it really boils down to is there's four elements of a legendary marriage. And this is not mine. This is Lance and Brandy Salazar wrote the book on this, Miracle Morning for Couples. Mm-hmm. Four elements of a legendary marriage are proper self-care is one, partnership, which is more of the business, non-sexy stuff of marriage, like the finances, the schedules, the car rides, you know, all this, the chores, the roles, all that. Then there's friendship. You know, do I even have anything in common with this person? Or like hanging out with them? Do I like them as a person? And then there's lovers and intimacy. And 50% of arguments happen in that partnership loop, because that's where a lot of the expectations lie. And that's where a lot of the beginning of emotional resentment starts. It's like, why am I doing the dishes? He does the thing, you know. Take out the garbage. You know, no one really knows their roles. So like that's an important one. And then creating epic experiences and memories with your kids. And epic doesn't mean expensive. It just means what it is, which is epic experiences. An epic experience can literally be sitting on your deck, having a great conversation with your 14-year-old.
Yeah.
And then there is being a leader in your community and business. And those are the five elements that we literally have the least amount of training in. And you and I were joking about this, but I use this analogy all the time on the podcast. It's like, out of those five elements, we get the least amount of training. We don't think to do that in any other aspect of life. Like it's almost like you and I were talking about this. It's like, I want to go be a cop. And you show up to the police academy and they're like, oh, you know what? We don't have the police academy. You just go be a cop. Here's your badge. Here's your gun. Here's your taser.
Yeah. Go at it.
Go get them. Go at them. But that's what we expect in those five elements.
Yeah. And I love it, man. And the one thing that I really liked about that is that I think so many people out there think that you, in order to be a good dad, you have to go on a vacation. You have to take people to Disney World. You have to take your kids there. You have to spend a lot of bank. And I love what you said, because I agree with you 100%. Sometimes the best moments are when we just take that time. Some of the best moments with my son, who's 19 now, are just he and I just doing a hike. It doesn't cost anything, but we're on a hike together and we're just talking about everything. And it's amazing. But I think so many people equate having fun or, you know, making connections with this big, huge family vacation. Am I wrong? I mean, I don't know.
You're dead on. Men are full throttle or no throttle.
Yeah.
We are extreme or nothing. If I can't do it all out, I ain't doing it all. But yeah, an epic connection can be throwing the ball with your kid and be like, hey man, what was the best part of your day today? Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Why was it the best? You know, what was the most challenging part of your day? What did you learn from it? What are you excited about tomorrow? I mean, all those three questions right there, those are game changing questions, because what it does is if you ask a kid, how was your day? What two words do you think they're going to say? What, they're going to use one or the other. They're going to use fine or good. It was good. Yeah. It was fine.
Yeah.
You can't answer that. Hey, what was the best part of your day? Why was it so memorable? You know, what was the most challenging part? What'd you learn? And then what are you most excited about tomorrow? Would those questions really help a kid build that growth mindset, not a fixed mindset? Because they're reflecting upon the gratitude that happened during that day, and you get to learn from them. You get to see what happened to them from their eyes. What was the most challenging part? Like, hey, what'd you fail at today?
Yeah.
Cool. Like, let's get used to failure. And what'd you learn from it? And then what are you excited about tomorrow? So those three questions alone, those are like the simplest ones to learn. And those will create an incredible relationship. I mean, that's just a starting point, but those three questions, that is an epic connection, because you get to learn from that kid. You get to connect with that kid. I mean, I don't know about you. I wasn't growing up like that. Hey, what was the coolest part of your day? Like, no one cared. No one asked. So just things like that. All you need is a good conversation. And like you said, a good hiking trail or a football, or if you have a daughter, let her paint your nails, ask her questions.
Yeah. And I think I told you, Larry, I mean, my dad was a good man. And he loved his kids, but I told you this before we started, I always got a feeling, and I think kids are very, very perceptive. They pick up on things. And I remember, again, and not that he didn't love us, but I always got this feeling like it was more like a burden. You know what I mean? You know, he was like, I have my kids, I love them, but you go over there, you do your thing. Not that, again, not that I don't love them, but like you, I didn't want to, and I made a lot of mistakes with my kids, but I didn't want to continue on that path of, okay, well, I'm just waiting for them to get out of the house so I can go do my own thing. And I think a lot of dads are like that. I mean, I talk to, again, I come from a law enforcement background, obviously, I told you that. And I know a lot of officers, not all of them, but a lot of them are like, just bide my time. So when they leave the home, and I'm like, dude, this is your one chance you don't get that time back, right?
You don't.
Jeez, make it count.
The thing that really keeps me on the straight and narrow, and I use this quote a lot in the podcast, we use this a lot in our mastermind community, is that the definition of hell is meeting the man that you could have been when you're on your deathbed.
Oh yeah.
And there are certain times, like last night, man, I was tired. I was smoked. Like, I was exhausted. And my 6-year-old looked at me. He's like, can we have a book? Can we have a book for it? And he was going to bed way later than he thought. And we had done we had played some Wii together and we'd done all this stuff. And I was like, I looked at him, I was like, no, not tonight. I was like, you know, we did a lot of things. And he was like, oh. And I was like, in that image, I was like, would I be proud of that answer if I was on my deathbed and I had this moment to do over again? The answer is no. And I looked at him, I was like, yeah, we're doing a book. I was like, you know what? I don't know what I was thinking. Go pick out a book. Of course, we'll do a book. And I was, as much as I did, what did it take, like 7 minutes to read him a book?
Yeah.
But whenever I benchmark a decision like that, where I don't feel like doing something, I'll think about me on my deathbed. Would I have made a different decision? Yeah. Heck yeah, I would. Would I do it over again? Yeah. So let me just make this decision good now.
Yeah. Cause it's regret, brother. I mean, like you said, you don't get that time back. I remember, you know, my son's 19, he's in the Air Force now. He went off to basic training and now he's in Mississippi going to additional training. And I remember the day he left for basic training, I was going, I mean, all the times, you know, that you just said, I mean, you thankfully got up and read it, but all the times I said, you know what, I'm too tired. I got to work at night. And I regret those decisions. Like you said, I mean, we have a great relationship with them. And I have a great relationship with all my kids. I got 5 kids, but,
five.
I'm glad.
Dang. dang, man.
Mixed, blended family. I got right. a daughter, 25-year-old daughter and a 19-year-old son. My wife has three daughters. Great kids. But my point is that, you know, I can't, I wish I had that time back.
I hear
but
you.
But I don't.
So and you have four daughters.
Four daughters, brother. I mean, we're a blended family. And, you know, like I said, I got a daughter who's in her 20s and my wife has my stepdaughters, which are amazing. You know, they're 28, 25 and 21. And then a 19-year-old son.
How old are you?
I'm 26. I'm 51, brother. I'm old.
What? You're 51?
Yeah, 51.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
I can't believe I just said that. We're recording. No, I'm 51, you know, and but you know, I believe in what you're right on the money, brother. I mean, I love what you said about taking care of yourself because we talked about it. You have to take care of yourself first. It's like you've heard this, you know, the example of you're on a plane, the oxygen drops, who are we going to put it on? Put it on yourself, right?
Right.
So I'm a really big believer in taking care of yourself, especially in a, you know, a job like law enforcement. Just, it's a great, great profession, but it eats you up. Now let's talk about shift a little bit, brother. You got books out there, The Dad's Edge. I want you to talk about that. I know we covered some of it. Best-selling book, Amazon best-selling book. Talk about that book. What prompted you to write it?
You know, so I went to a Tony Robbins event in 2014, and I wrote down, you know, hey, what am I going to do in the next 12 months? It was one of the exercises, one of the visioning exercises that he put us through. And I was like, I'm going to write a book. I don't know why I just wrote that down. Like, I'm not a writer, and I'm going to start a podcast. In 2015, I did that. And I remember specifically the day that I literally put the title of the book, The Dad's Edge. And I knew at the time, I was like, I need to make this book very simple. And the way I want to, the thing that I didn't like about most parenting books that I was reading at the time was I felt like the author was talking down to me, you know? And I was like, I wonder if I can write a book. I wrote that book as if I was talking to my best friend or having a conversation with myself. And I just really dumbed it down to nine things that you can do that are so simple that will change the course of you being a father. Now, here's what I'll say. That book's 5 years old.
Yeah.
It needs to be updated.
But it's a great book.
Well, thank you. Gosh, there's so many more things, so many different strategies. And now that the brand has sort of shifted and we've learned more, I've got another book in me. I've got another couple books in me. But I would do things. The next book I write will be a little bit different.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when can we expect that book, brother?
Well, I'm in the process of launching my third right now. It's a kid's book. So this will be my second kid's book, and, I'm not going to share what it's about yet. I'm shocked that no one has stolen the idea yet or taken the idea and ran with it. So I'm writing a book on a topic that's going to be really, really obvious, but I think really helpful for parents to read to their kids. It'll be a strong reminder for parents to read something like this out loud, and it'll be great lessons for kids.
Yeah. Now getting back to, you know, strategies for fathers. Now I told you, and people know that I come from a law enforcement background, obviously, again, and I work many years on nights, graveyards. So, and it's a balancing act like we talk about. So what advice would you give a police officer who not only is struggling with the stressors of the job, but also works a graveyard shift? For those who don't know, it's you're working midnight, you're working, you know, when everybody else is sleeping, making time for their kids. I mean, what advice, you know, would you give them?
Oh, man, it's so hard. My best friend is a cop.
Yeah.
And he works nights.
Yeah.
My middle brother, my half brother, is a firefighter who's on his 24 to 48 hour shifts at a time.
Yeah.
That is hard because you're exhausted. You're sleep deprived. That's a lot to ask. What I can definitely tell you is that if you learn small amounts of skill, the amount of time that you spend with your kid is not nearly as important as the intentional time you spend with your kids.
Love it. Yeah.
So you could spend 3 hours with your kids, or you could spend 30, you know, and it's like, oh, we're just in the same space. Or you could spend 30 minutes with them and you're just like in it. Good conversation. a good hike, it takes a little bit of pre-planning, right? Like, so if I take, like, so for instance, I took my 12-year-old dirt bike riding yesterday, and it was an hour and 40-minute drive there and an hour and 40-minute drive back. And I was like, how can I really engage him in conversation where he's not going to be on his phone? And so I was like, on the way home, we had all the conversation you could possibly have on the way there. And then on the way home, he hopped on his phone. He was watching some YouTube videos. And I told myself, I was like, I'm going to let him do 20 minutes of YouTube videos on the way home. And then I'm going to ask him, like, hey, let's play a game. And so we did. I was like, Google funny would you rather questions. And let's play that. And he's like, oh, that sounds awesome. So we did that, and we had so many laughs. And the cool thing is in an hour and 20 minutes, I think we maybe got through 15 of them, because you have to explain your answers and find out, you know, what's funny. And then those answers lead to stories, and those stories lead to more conversation. But it did take some thinking. Like, if I was on autopilot, or what we call the drift, I would have just popped on what I want to listen to, and he could have popped in his earbuds, and we would have lost 3 hours, you know, that round trip, but we didn't. So I had to think of, like, I was like, I'm gonna be in the car with this kid for 3 hours. Like, what can I ask him? Like, what can we talk about?
Yeah. It's so simple, but I think we, as fathers, have this unrealistic expectation of what, well, I know I did. Okay, it needs to be the whole day, or it needs to be to take up the majority of the day for me to be a good dad. And I love what you said. It could be, as long as it's intentional, it could be 15 minutes of talking to your son or your daughter and saying, you know, just having that great conversation, that could mean more than 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it's the quality of the time is not nearly as important as the quantity. Mm-hmm.
So I got to ask you about podcasting now.
Sure.
You're crushing it with the show. I love the show. Hundreds of thousands of downloads. So what advice would you give some? We're kind of digressing a little bit off the dad topic for a minute, but there's a reason why your podcast is resonating with so many. What advice would you give to aspiring podcasters out there, you know, who want to start a show?
So, oh, great question.
I know it's kind of deviated a little bit, but you have such a great podcast. I just want to know what your advice would be.
Well, it's been a lot of learning, right? So like,
me too.
I always joke that I'm like, anytime I talk to a guy, because what we have a mastermind group, and for guys to get into the mastermind group, they have to apply. And then when they apply, we get on a Zoom call, we chat for 20 minutes for me to get to know them. What is they want to do? And I kind of point them in the right direction. But usually in that conversation, they'll share with me, like, dude, I feel like I already know you. I've been listening to your podcast from the beginning. And if I hear a guy say, I've been listening to you from the beginning, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry for that first year. because
same way.
Oh, man. Like, I was just like, I can't even go back and listen to the intro music. Like, it's like,
sucks.
So I didn't really understand what I can tell you for podcasting. I really didn't understand the audience. Yeah. So like, for instance, you know, Good Dad Project, I don't think we'll ever get rid of that. It's the umbrella organization. Dad Edge is the brand. And what I can tell you about men, in order for men to really gravitate to something, they got to feel like it's cool. Like, I feel good being a part of this. It's the Dad Edge. Like, it gives me an edge. Good Dad Project assumes that you're like broken and you're a project, right? That's not cool.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So knowing your audience, or at least trying to understand your audience, is number one. Number two, what I could tell you about, there's definitely a strategy. Like, I think a lot of people get what's called pod burn, which is you launch a podcast, you hope for the best. I mean, you really have to have, like, when I launched the podcast, I was very strategic about it. I learned a lot about it. I was like, okay, I'm going to pre-record 10 shows. I'm going to know what they're going to be about. I'm going to launch on this date. I'm going to have people go subscribe and review it, because I want to hit and new and noteworthy. So that was like the first few months, and that worked. And then what I can tell you is that, like, I was like, oh, I've got ideas for 10 shows. And then after that, I'm on God's good humor. But what I can also tell you, if you're a podcaster, don't be a taker, be a giver.
Yeah.
In other words, the first 10 people I had on the show, it's like, hey, who can I introduce you to? Who can I network with? Who can I connect you with? And what I always found was that reciprocity always came back to me in a really cool way. So like, I'd be introduced to people. I was just like, oh my gosh, like, this person just connected me to this UFC fighter or this pro athlete or whoever, like I would have never, if I would have gotten on email and emailed this person, they would have never responded. Yeah. So like things like that, that I think, and I think the other thing too, is that you have to be prepared to work hard. It's not, you get on the mic, you record a show, and then that's it. You've got to be prepared that this is a, it's a part-time job, you know, it's a gig, you know, to do it, unless you're going to hire it out.
And I think a lot of people just think that they start a show and they're going to make millions of dollars from sponsors overnight.
Right.
And then they quit. Yeah. Larry Hagner, brother. Yeah. Amazing. Any final words of advice you want to give dads out there, man, besides going to checking out your podcast, which is amazing?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say, that, you know, if men are notorious for living alone, our two favorite answers to any question is good and fine and fine and good. If you're out there and you're taking pride in being the lone wolf dies. That's the end. You know, the lone wolf dies because he's lost his pack, or the lone wolf dies because he's injured and he leaves the pack. But either way, he leaves his pack and he dies. So what I'll tell you is that, don't do that to yourself. You know, dive into like-minded men who are in your community or friends or whatever else. Have deeper conversations of what it means to be married, what it means to be a father. Don't talk about the same five things like work and what Trump's doing and what this sports team did. And that's all we talk about. And after we're done with that for 15 minutes, now what?
You start drinking.
Actually, you start drinking before they even start talking about all that stuff. But if you're living on what we call the drift, which is the wash, rinse, repeat, man, I'm out there working really hard, I'm doing my thing, blah, blah, blah. You know, don't do that. You got to like literally live life to the, you got to live it to the fullest. And don't be afraid to be a student of those five dimensions. Be a student of life. Like, and never, the final thing that I'll say, because this is human nature, quality of our life depends on the quality of the questions we ask ourselves and people around us. And a lot of people are notorious for being like, well, why can't I blah? And why can't I do that? And why can't I do this? Why is it, any question that starts with that, just do away with it. Bad question. Best question you can ask yourself is, how might I? Because our brains, I mean, dude, they are machines. Your brain doesn't care if what you're asking is a good question or a bad question. It's going to give you an answer. So if you're saying, hey, why can't I do this? It's going to tell you why. If you say, how might I do this? It's going to go looking for a solution to get you to do whatever that thing is.
Amazing advice, Larry Hagner. Everything will be linked up in the show notes for everybody. Brother, it's been an honor. Thank you for your time today. And everybody go check out Larry's podcast. Again, the Dad Edge podcast and the Good Dad Project. Larry, take care, brother. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.